I believe the stage has been set for the reading of the word. I'm so thankful for the ministry of my brother, Menachi. I won't say it out of respect for my brother, but he's just an awesome guy. If you haven't got a chance to meet Brother Landry, he is just an awesome, awesome dude. I'm thankful for his ministry. Brother, preach your heart, bro.
Bless you. Amen, church. Who's glad to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Who's glad to be in the house of God tonight? I believe David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. So glad to be in the house of God tonight. I'm going to pull this Bible open here, but then I'm going to get out my trusty electronic device. So praise the Lord. Amen. I am thankful for what I feel that God is doing in this house tonight. I'm thankful for the peace and the joy of God that flows in the services that we come into day in and day out. And when we come into the house of God, I feel like sometimes, especially me, sometimes I seem to take things for granted, Brother Abbott, Pastor Abbott, Bishop Abbott. Sometimes I take things for granted. Amen. And today I was worshiping and I got this fancy new electronic little watch thing. And I looked over at it when I was worshiping and it said, dynamic workout. I thought, my God, I hope it's always dynamic. I hope my praise is always worthy. Amen. Because he's worthy of all the praise that I can give him. Amen. I want my praise to continually be in my mouth. Amen. I just want to give him praise tonight for everything that he's done. Amen. I'm going to start in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And I'm just going to start in the second verse. Amen. And the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Amen. Mighty God, we come before you tonight, God, asking that you would open up our ears, open up our hearts, God. Help me to deliver the word that I feel like you've prepared for this church tonight, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. I was looking at this passage of scripture, and as we were worshiping, and Brother Ramos was talking about the name of Jesus, it kept going over in my mind that it said that Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. And tonight, what I want to preach to you is the struggle is real, but Jesus is hope. The struggle is real, but Jesus is hope. See, we have a lot of things that we endure throughout our day-to-day lives. We deal with people because we all love people. People are people, and everybody knows they're the nicest people in the world, right? Everybody is. Everybody we come in contact with is just our best friend. Amen. My driving says otherwise sometimes, and I pray to God that he gives me patience in all things. Amen. But sometimes I find myself setting in front of an opportunity or a choice that I have to make. Amen. Look at the person who's next to you and say, the struggle is real, but Jesus is hope. But Jesus is hope. See, that statement, the struggle is real, it means something different to each and every one of us. It doesn't mean the same thing it does for me as it does for Brother Ramos or Brother Ray or anybody else in this house or in this congregation, because it's different for each one of us. And we have to be able to identify what our struggle is. What is the thing that keeps coming up against us time in and time out? What are the things that we need to stop looking at and start looking to Jesus for? I was thinking about a story that happened to me not too long ago, and it's kind of comical, but I'll let you decide. I was sitting in my car and I'm driving down the road, and my kids were arguing. You know, they're the best kids in the world, but for some reason they were arguing that day. And they kept going back and forth. Yes, he did. No, he didn't. Yes, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. You did. You did. I did. I did. I did. Finally, I stopped them. I said, stop! Stop! And they looked at me and I said, listen, lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. And they looked at me kind of confused. But they stopped arguing, and I thought, woohoo! The word of the Lord came through. I mean, to tell you, you want to put a stop to something, you throw the word of God at it. Suddenly I was there for 5 minutes, and I heard, it doesn't beset me, it besets you. No, it doesn't. It doesn't beset me, it besets you. No, it doesn't. 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 It besets you. And I said, stop. It besets us all. Ethan looked at me. He said, but Dad, she said that it does so easily beset me. And it doesn't beset me. It besets her. Church, it besets every single one of us every single day. Amen. The word of the Lord says that you got to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, because there is coming a time when we are going to have to look at a situation and we're going to have to decide a right from a wrong, a good from a bad. We cannot allow ourselves to just think, oh, it doesn't matter anymore. Oh, but we've got to hold on to everything that's within us, all the faith and everything that we know about the word of God is still true. The Bible says his word is forever. Not today. It's today settled in heaven. Tomorrow it's settled in heaven. The Bible says it's forever settled in heaven. Amen. And I've got to be aware of my struggle. And I've got to be aware that Jesus is my hope. No matter what my struggle may be, Jesus is my hope. See, it's not the quantity of the blood that was spilt on a cross that washed away our sins, but it was the quality of the blood that washed away the sins, because there is power in the blood of Jesus. And sometimes, Brother Ramos, like you said, we got to look at our situation and begin to call on the name of Jesus. We got to begin to call on everything that's within us that Jesus would be there. Because Jesus is the hope that we need. Jesus is the hope that we need. When the struggle's all around us, when the situation is before us. Bible says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. See, there's one thing that I want you to know. Amen. Jesus is Alpha and Jesus is Omega, and Jesus is author and Jesus is finisher. So if your trouble started something, amen, your trouble can't finish it, because Jesus is the finisher of your faith. Jesus is the finisher of your faith. Amen. Well, for me, he is. Maybe everything's perfect in your life and you have no struggles. Maybe everything's going okay and there's no struggle going on in your life. Amen. Every day I wake up in the morning and I say, devil, it's going to be a battle, but Jesus is going to win. Every day there's something going to happen, but I've got Jesus on my side. I don't fight this fight alone. I don't run this race by myself. I didn't save myself. Jesus, amen, is with me. Amen. Even the Apostle Paul knew that there were struggles in life that we had to go through. Amen. That's why he stated things like, what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, persecution. In other words, is my struggle going to separate me from God? And if my trouble is going to separate me from God, then what do I need to do? Amen. Because I know that the Bible says Jesus is my author and my finisher, and that there is nothing that is set before me. Amen. That God cannot help me through, and that God cannot help me with. I have come to a place in my life where I realize that Jesus has got to be by my side every day. It doesn't matter if I think I'm the best person in the world, Brother Rincon. It doesn't matter if I think I'm the best person in the world. I can have everything going okay and everything all right, but I still need Jesus by my side, because there is an enemy that wants to come and he wants to try to attack, and he's going to try to find a situation or a struggle that puts doubt and fear in my life, because doubt and fear will stop the flow of God in your life. And so we have to be ready. We have to be on guard. Amen. You may think that God doesn't want you, or that God doesn't have any interest in you. For some reason, Brother Ray, there's this idea that I'm not good enough for God going around. That people think that they need to get right to get God. They think that there's things they need to fix in their life before they begin to talk to God. Amen. I think of a man by the name of Jacob in the Bible. Amen. The Bible says that he was a deceiver, that he was somebody who basically stole and he took things, and he was very cunning and very, very kind of a sly fox, if you will. And there were things that he wanted, and when he wanted them, he would go after them with everything within him. Amen. And he wasn't necessarily the best guy, or he wasn't always considered a good guy to some, because of the things that he did that were misleading or that were maybe found to be questionable by other people, specifically his brother. Because the Bible says that he stole a blessing from his brother. The Bible says that he went in there and he pretended to be his brother and he stole his brother's blessing. And see, because of this, there was a struggle that came into his life. And when one day when he was faced with the situation of going back to his brother, the struggle, see, everything seemed good for a while, Pastor Abbott. Everything seemed okay sometimes. There were things that he dealt with, but there was nothing that he could do about his brother's situation. He was going to go meet him. And the Bible says that he got a great fear that he was going to get killed. That he was going to be destroyed. He wasn't going to make it in this situation. This struggle was the struggle that was going to take him out. Amen. How many of you have ever felt like this is the struggle that's going to take me out? This is the struggle that I'm not going to make it through. And he had one option. He had to talk to God. He had one thing that he had left. He had to talk to God. And so if you look at Genesis 32 and in the 24th verse, we find where the scripture says, and Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he had prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. See, he understood that there was a struggle in his life that was greater than he was. There was a struggle in his life that he couldn't fix. There was a struggle in his life that this time he needed something else. Amen. He needed a hope, and that hope was in Jesus. Amen. There was a time that he finally realized, you know what? I'm going to talk to God. And so when God came down and began to talk to him, amen, that's when Jacob got a hold of God. That's what we have to do sometimes. We've got to get a hold of God to the point where we say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, God. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. See, there's people who have been shrouded by darkness, and you've been walking through the valley, and you're looking around realizing for the first time why David might have called it the valley of the shadow of death. Amen. Because you feel like death itself would be greater than the situation you're in right now. But I am here to tell you that there is a day that's going to break through in your night. There is a situation where if you look to God and you depend upon God, that he's going to break through the night, because Jesus is your hope in the struggle. The struggle does not have you. The struggle doesn't own you. The struggle is not who you are. Amen. Tonight, I feel like there's something that God wants to do. And God is reaching for someone tonight, because there is somebody who is deciding, or they're pushing the limits, and they're thinking, God, I don't think that I can make it anymore. And they're considering throwing in the towel. See, some of us, we look around and we say, there's nobody like that here. God, help us! We need lost souls. We need somebody to get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want somebody to get baptized in Jesus' name. I want somebody to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, because this is the plan of salvation. Bible says in Acts 2:38 that if you would repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, that you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And that is the hope that Jesus wants to leave. He did not leave us in our own struggle, because the struggle doesn't own us. But God has said, I've already paid the price. I've already gone there. I understand your struggle. I understand your situation. Amen. In Luke, the 5th chapter, we find a passage of scripture where there's some boys, Pastor Abbott, that they were out fishing. And the Bible says that it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, see, they wanted to hear the word from Jesus because they knew where hope lies. And he stood by the lake, and he saw two ships standing by the lake. And he said, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. When I think of this story, oftentimes I parallel or I compare it to the life of people. Many stories in the Bible I look at, and I can find situations where God speaks to us through his word. And And tonight I want to say, if I can, that as Jesus looked out over that lake and he saw two ships, I want to say he saw a mama and he saw a daddy who was praying. I want to say he saw two siblings who had somebody out of the house of God that was praying. He looked out and he saw a church that was praying. He looked out and he saw a pastor and his wife who were praying. He looked out and he saw a fight that had lasted all night, because he saw two ships out on a lake. But the fishermen were gone because they were out washing their nets. Have you ever seen people at a fast food joint? I mean to tell you, 30 minutes before closing, the dishes are done, the food's put away, you're going in there to order, and there's nothing. They're like, well, we don't have that. I'm here to get a burger. No, we ain't got no meat. But you're Burger King. Oh, you'll have to come back tomorrow. And I'm like, it's 30 minutes to closing. Hungry. I need to get unhungry. Okay? Y'all pray for me. But you see the things that they begin to do because they're ready to go. See, they already have an expectation that they're done. It's 30 minutes before closing, and there's nobody in the lobby, or there's very few people in the lobby, and they start closing up. See, these men that were out on a ship all night fishing for fish, they hadn't caught anything. There was no hope in sight. There was nothing there for them. And so they said, well, we might as well put the nets away. And so they left their boats out on the lake and they went to wash their nets. They were putting things away. I can always tell in my classroom when it's about 5 minutes till the bell rings, because all of a sudden in the middle of my teaching, people start putting stuff away. And I'm like, where are you guys going? Still got a story to tell. Dude, I got a whole lesson planned. And they just want to put their stuff away already. So I can always tell what time it is. Amen. And as Jesus looked at this situation, amen, in his mind, I can imagine him thinking, they think it's over. They think that they're done. And the Bible says, and Jesus entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people out of the ship. Amen. Jesus got into the ship. See, there's a difference when you're in the ship by yourself. When you're in the struggle all by yourself, Brother Rincon, there you go. It's hard to be all by yourself because there's no hope. You think that everything's okay and it feels right and it feels like everything's normal. But when Jesus isn't in the boat, things are a little different. When Jesus isn't in the middle of your struggle, things are a little different. And so what I want you to notice for a second is that God asked him a favor. God said, you know, will you just take me out a bit? I'm trying to teach all these people. I don't need to go far, but I just need to go a little bit. Amen. Sometimes God wants to know, how far are you willing to go? What are you willing to do for God? Why is it that we always come to God? Pastor Abby, you've been in this for a long time. Why is it we always come to God when there's something wrong? Why is it that we always look for somebody else to solve my problem? But I never ask God, what do you want? I don't take the time to listen to the voice of God and say, God, look, I'm in a struggle and I don't understand, but I need your help. And so God asked him, would you just go out a little bit? And so he did. He takes him out, and Jesus teaches a lesson. Jesus teaches them. And now the Bible says, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, okay, we're done. Now what I want you to do is launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. Now, I don't know about you, but if I went to a restaurant and I was some random person off the street, amen, and I went into a restaurant and I said, I know you guys closed early, but look, I got five groups of people coming in here, and I need you to open everything back up. I need you to get that ice cream machine going. I need you to get that shake machine going. I need you to get them burgers frying. I know we got 5 minutes. I don't care about that. I need you to get everything back up. And I know you wash the dishes. You need to get them unwashed so I can dirty them up. I got some people coming in. See, I'm going to tell you, they'd be mad at me. And they would probably tell me no. They would say, I'm sorry, we're not going to do that. See, but that's not what Simon Peter did. That's not what Peter did. The Bible says, and Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night. I've been in this struggle for a long time, Jesus. I've been in this boat longer than you have. And sometimes we tell God that. God, I've been in this struggle longer than you have. I understand this struggle more than you do. But see, Peter said, we've toiled all night and I have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. See, I believe that there was something already stirring in Peter as he began to listen to his word, as he began to listen to the words when he was telling the story when he's in the boat. And sometimes we're in the middle of our struggle, and if we would just stop to listen to the voice of Jesus, listen to the things that he's saying, listen to the things that he's trying and he's pulling at our heart, and he wants you to know, because there is a day that's about to break. There is a night that is about to go away. There is a situation and a struggle that is no longer gonna have a hold on you. There is a God that's now in the boat, and there's God who's standing beside you saying, you're about to see something that you've never seen before. You're about to see a breakthrough and a revival like never before. You're about to see somebody come on home like never before. You're about to see your mom and daddy get the Holy Ghost like never before. You're about to see God do a work in your life like never before. Because Jesus is on the scene, and Jesus, the struggle is real, but Jesus is hope. The struggle is real, but Jesus is hope. Well, you don't understand my situation. You don't understand my sin. You don't understand the trial that I'm going through. I don't understand it, but I know that Jesus understands. Because Jesus has been with you all the days of your life. Amen. And the Bible says that when they had done this, Peter went ahead and did what he was asked to do. Bible says he took those clean nets, those nets that were in the boat, and Pastor Abbott, that they just washed. They just washed them. I put in the prayer. I put in the fasting. I put in the work at the church. I put in everything that I could. I put in it all, Jesus. And I feel like I've got nothing left. And Jesus is saying, just drop them down. Just put them in. Put them in the water. Do what I'm asking. You've already come this far. You've already come out into the lake. Now I've asked you to go a little bit further. Amen. Now I've asked you to step out a little bit further and a little deeper into the water. I've asked you to do something that maybe seems out of the ordinary, and it doesn't seem like it's going to fix the situation. But if you put trust in God, I know that God is going to see that you have the will and your way, and the things that you need are going to be met, because God is the author. He is the finisher of our faith. He is everything. Amen. See, the Bible says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets break. And then this is my favorite part. The Bible says that they beckoned their partners, which were in the other ship, that they would come to help them. And the Bible says, and they came and they filled both of the ships so that they began to sink. See, I don't understand if you see the situation that's going on here. But I know that Jesus looked out and he seen a mom and daddy praying, and he stepped into the situation. Amen. And when mommy got the revelation, or when daddy got the revelation, amen, there was a fire that was ignited that said, oh my God, I can't let this blessing be all on my own. I can't let this blessing be all on my own. But I've got to get my brothers and my sisters, and I've got to take somebody with me, because there's a promise that's a coming at the end of this struggle. There's a promise that's coming at the end of this night. And the Bible says, amen, that there was so much, amen, that the boats begin to sink. Amen. How many tonight want your boat to sink? I don't think you heard me. How many tonight want your boat to sink? How many of you want the blessing you've been waiting for? How many of you want the promise you've been waiting for? The struggle is real, but Jesus is the hope. There is nothing that can stand against God. Amen. There's nothing that can stand against you when you've got Jesus in the boat. See, I thought about the young boy one day that gave his two fish and five loaves of bread, his lunch to Jesus. And Jesus fed a multitude of 5,000 off of a couple fish and a few loaves of bread. See, a lot of times we equate the story because it fits within the context, but we talk about how the boy gave. He gave all he had. But see, the true story and the real story isn't so much about what he gave. It's about who he gave it to. See, I can give what I have to anybody. I can go and I can talk about my struggle with anybody, but there ain't a person in here that can help me with my struggles. There ain't a person in here that can help me with all the situations that I face. But if I give my situation to Jesus, if I begin to realize that, you know what, I am sick and tired of the world's broken promises, I'm sick and tired of the world's dark night, but I'm gonna give what I have to Jesus, because I want to see the things of God begin to unravel in my life. I want to see people come home. I have a sister, amen, who's not living right today. I have a sister who needs God today. And I believe that if I would put my prayer and my fasting, and if I would begin to do what God has beckoned me to do, I believe that God's going to bring her home. I believe that we're going to see, amen, her back in the church and singing and dancing and living for God. Amen, that there's going to be a dynamic workout that goes on in the house of God. Because Jesus is the hope in my struggle. I know this wasn't long, but I'm closing tonight. But if we read through the scriptures and we look down and we find in the same passage of scripture where Luke and Peter had gotten his blessing, there's a few more men who come to Jesus. And the Bible says, and it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors and the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed, and a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in. They tried to get him in the house. And because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and they let him down through the tile with his couch under the midst of Jesus. See, this man wanted to get in to see Jesus. They wanted this man to see Jesus because they understood he had a struggle, and they understood where the hope lied in the struggle. And Jesus, looking up, I can imagine seeing a bed coming down out of the rooftop. He looked. And the Bible says that he didn't even heal the man. The Bible just says he looked at him and he said, "Your sins be forgiven thee. Your sins be forgiven." The man that were around him began to look, and they questioned Jesus. "Who are you that you could say that this man's sins are forgiven?" They didn't understand. There was hope in the house. This old flesh, this old thing that we call our body, one day, it's going to return to the dust. One day, we're going to leave this body, and we're going to go and stand before Jesus. And the men who questioned Jesus said, "Why? Who are you to forgive sins?" And Jesus just looked at them and said, "You know, what's the difference?" He said, what if I just said, "Your palsy be healed. Just take up that bed and walk." See, Jesus understood what the real struggle was. Sometimes we get our situations rearranged, and we put our priorities, or we prioritize our struggles. And Jesus the whole time is saying, "Look, it's not about what your body's going through. It's not about what's going on in this world. But if I can save a soul, if I can save your soul." See, it was easy for Jesus then to just say, "Okay, take up that bed and walk." And he did. He got up, took up his bed, and then all of a sudden the people marveled, and they were so, "This is a great day. This is a strange thing that we've seen." Today, God is saying, don't look at the things that are around you and try to prioritize them. I understand your need. I'm the hope in the middle of your struggle or struggles. I'm the hope in the middle of your situation. And I'm the God of your situation. The God of the universe who stretched out his hand and he flung the scars into existence. If you could stand with me tonight. If you could just raise your hands toward heaven. I think it would be fitting if we just rededicate our lives and say, God, I see the struggle that I'm going through. God, you know the struggle and the situation I'm dealing. God, help me to prioritize and to get in line the things that you desire, because it is my desire to live for you. It's my desire, God, to have, to be pleasing to you, God. God, I need to be right with you above everything else. God, I must be saved. God, above everything else, God, it doesn't matter what my situation is, if it's right or it's wrong, if it's good or it's bad. God, you take my life. These altars are open tonight. If you feel the need or you would like to, amen, these altars are open. This is the place where you can talk to God and you can begin to say, God, I want to be everything that you want me to be. God, I want to be the thing, God, that makes out, that stands out, where I can begin to draw in those around me, Jesus. I want those around me to see the blessings, and I want those around me to be a part of what's going on. God, I need you, Jesus, tonight. I need you in this place, Jesus. God, thank you, Lord, for being.